All right, welcome to the Humans of Grappling podcast. We have Ryan from the Biomech group chat. We're in this secret society fighting the cabal, I guess. So how are you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. How are you, Mike?
Doing well. So I guess how did you get started with jiu-jitsu? You're a black belt in Gracie Baja, right?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I started when I was a little kid doing karate, and I trained for about 10 years doing karate, and somewhere in that time, there was a jiu-jitsu class. My karate instructor, he would always bring in other martial arts that he thought was interesting, and he brought a jiu-jitsu instructor in one time, and I took the class, and I absolutely loved it. And a funny story about that, actually, I was taking karate, I was doing jiu-jitsu, and I didn't really ever, I didn't really ever pick one, but when I really saw the effectiveness of jiu-jitsu, where he did some sparring sessions with my karate instructor, who was incredible at karate, and I really saw the effectiveness of jiu-jitsu, where my sensei didn't know anything on the ground, I was really hooked, and I just started training, as much as I absolutely could in the jiu-jitsu realm.
Gotcha. Cool. So you saw, like, it was the UFC, but like in your dojo. It was like art versus art. You got to see kind of firsthand.
Yes. And then, my dad, he called me up on the phone. He goes, "Ryan, there's this thing you might find interesting." And I thought he said cave fighting. There's these guys that go in a cave and they fight. And he was, of course, talking about cage fighting and in the UFC. And just not too long after that, I was asking my sensei about it. And my first UFC fight that I ever saw was John Jones versus Lyoto Machida. And heartbreaking as it was that Lyoto Machida lost, who was a karate guy, I was just shocked at how amazing that fight was and how amazing fighting was overall.
Right. Dang. That's a formative, like, experience for that.
Yes.
For you. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. Dang. That's cool.
How I guess you, like, Mike, I know you're the host and stuff, but right. how did you get started with jiu-jitsu?
So I wrestled in high school, and I got into wrestling because I was like, I played football, and like some of the wrestling coaches were also football coaches, so they were like, wrestling, football go hand in hand, trying to get all the, like, recruit all the strong guys to like go out for wrestling, and like get people on the team to get people to do it. So I eventually did it, and I was hooked. And I wrestled through high school, broke my hand, my right hand, senior year of high school. And I was decent. And I don't know, I just felt like I was unfinished with wrestling, but there was no path forward for me to do wrestling in my adult life. It was just like, you either go to college and you wrestle like for a college team, or there's just no wrestling at all. There's no like clubs, or very, very few at least. So then, yeah, I had a friend in, I guess like second year in college was like, "Hey, have you heard of this jiu-jitsu thing? You should go try it. You'd be good at it." So I had a couple of experiences with jiu-jitsu prior. So like a couple guys who would come through the wrestling room who did do jiu-jitsu in high school. They put me in different things like guillotine, straight ankle lock, rear naked choke, and I just thought it was terrible. Like, it was just it was so painful. I was like, "Oh, these brutes!" Even though I was doing wrestling, I don't know. I thought it was barbaric. I just thought like these dudes are just like out here like hurting each other. I didn't get to see the game of it until I started at Guerrilla Jiu-Jitsu circa 2012, I guess. under Dave Camarillo, and I was like, I was hooked. I did one class. I was like, oh, I want to do this. Like, this is the coolest thing. Like, the gi was a little, like, I don't know, like, it was weird to start, but I did the gi for 6 years, and I always rag on the gi now. Like, I especially roast Ryan for having, like, Ryan claims to not have fucked up hands, so, but yeah, my fingers feel great, like, after stopping training in the gi, so, I don't know, but, yeah, so that's how I started jiu-jitsu. Through wrestling, so yeah.
I got some questions for you. I mean, I hate
to sure, yeah,
the
you
whole thing
you
on,
can,
on its head, but
yeah,
I'm a huge fan of Dave Camarillo.
Yeah,
Camarillo, and yeah. I always wanted to ask you about this. I know he combines his like wrestling curriculum and his jiu-jitsu curriculum.
Yep,
or at least that's what I've heard. And
sure.
I know that he's so nasty at arm locks, and that's like mm-hmm. my favorite technique. And I was curious if you could speak on either of those things.
Sure. Yeah. No. We. So the technique of the day, we would always do these things called threads. So just like a sequence of movements, and it would always start on the feet. Like we would always do some kind of takedown, to guard pass, to whatever submission, and. He has a judo background. He was a judo black belt first. He trained ever since he was a kid and went over to Japan, like super legit, like judoka. And then he found jiu-jitsu, and wrecked house there. So through the, his curriculum was definitely, had a lot more standing than the standard, like jiu-jitsu curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, his work at AKA with American Kickboxing Academy, for those who aren't aware, he trained with Cain Velasquez and Josh Koscheck, and trained those kind of OG MMA guys. So he had a well-rounded like program, and it's still very rooted in like traditional like jiu-jitsu. So it was. We were wearing the gi 99% of the time. He had like a special MMA class for like the fighters where it was no gi, and maybe like one no gi class throughout the week. So, it was good. It was probably the right place for me to like come up in jiu-jitsu and like have really solid fundamentals. I had a good armbar. Like my first competition win, I think, was by armbar. So, that's just how whatever we were just like, that was the position to finish people in. Cause I honestly didn't have like a back game or anything like that. Not until I trained no-gi did I have like a real, like solid, back attack game. So everything was, pass, side control, Kimura, armbar. That was the bread and butter of the system.
If you guys go online, there's some great Dave Camarillo armbar victories that are just epic to watch.
Right.
I remember the
flying armbars and
insane
like that.
Stuff. Yeah, insane.
Yeah.
Stuff. I remember when I was coming up through the ranks, I would like white belt, maybe blue belt. There was this show like Ask a BJJ Black Belt, and they interviewed Dave Camarillo for a couple of those, and that's like when I had first heard about him. And he always had like some great information in that segment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He even said in one of them that he's like very clear on what his students expect of him, and then like what he expects of his students, and that's something that like I didn't really understand for a long time.
Sure.
And he just had such good advice in that Ask a BJJ Black Belt series, you know, that I took a lot from it.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, he's an OG in the game, and sure. Just, you know, like people, sleep on, like the it's all about like buggy chokes and leg locks nowadays, but you gotta pay respect to the bread and butter, wizards of yesteryear. So
yeah,
it was cool. I appreciate you bringing up the kind of yeah, my jiu-jitsu roots, because I feel like, I don't know, okay, now going on my own little tangent here, where it's like, I feel like you should train at multiple places. And that was Dave's philosophy, was like, train with everyone. Like, there was no, like, politics or anything like that. He didn't care if you, like, cross-train with anybody else or whatever. So I think that kind of mindset carried with me. And, like, I trained there during the summertime while I had an internship at home in Pleasanton, California. And then I went back to school in San Luis Obispo. So, like, I trained, like, coming up through like college, like I trained at two different gyms, and then just moving out to Las Vegas, like I was like, okay, let me get a completely different perspective, let me train with 10th Planet and like see what this no-gi thing is all about. And it, I think coming up in like a traditional, like fundamentals heavy school, that prepares you, it much, very much like a, I don't know, bachelor's degree or whatever, prepares you for like the basics. This is like a very strong foundation, and then you can kind of add the crazy shit on top of it. Like, once you know the rules, you can break them.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, what have you always trained at the same school your whole career?
Well, from white to blue belt, I was some haphazard training of like, we had a bunch of guys come through and teach at the karate school, and there was like a class every Wednesday and Friday. So I went to every single Wednesday and Friday class, didn't miss a single one.
Yeah.
But I also trained at this place, East Coast United Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which was in White Plains, New York, whenever I could. So
gotcha.
I got my blue belt through that school, and it took me four years to go from white to blue.
Oh, wow.
And I did blue through black, all under my professor, Rodrigo Longo, at Gracie Baja.
Okay, cool. Nice. And that's in Florida?
Yeah, in Orlando.
Yeah, Florida. Orlando. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Nice. Cool. Let me see. Okay, back to, like, my track of questions is, what does grappling mean to you?
See, this is funny because we just did an impromptu podcast. I didn't know there was a whole list of questions, but yeah. I'll do my best. I'm
right.
tired, was going to go to sleep soon, but what was the question? Okay. Hit me with it one more time. No, you're good.
Oh, sorry. What does grappling mean to you?
That's a tricky one. What does grappling mean to me? Well, you know, I made it my profession. I know this is like the Humans of Grappling podcast where people do like other things, but
yeah,
I made it really my life. I just got so obsessed with it that I almost couldn't do anything else.
Sure.
I worked in martial arts schools for most of my life, but I've also done other jobs. I've had other sales jobs. I worked as a waiter and server at some fine dining restaurants and stuff. But man, jiu-jitsu means everything to me. I don't know what my life would look like without jiu-jitsu. I see the world through the lens of jiu-jitsu. And just to even like give you an example, I had a crazy situation just happen to me like a day or two ago, where I was outside my apartment complex, and I'm just like standing outside minding my own business, and this guy like comes over to me. He's like, "What's your fucking problem?" And I'm like looking around like, who's he talking to? You know, like, and there's no one else around. It's just me. So he was talking to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, "You've been parking in this spot. This spot is my favorite spot. It's right in front of my I know you live like all the way across the way over there. Like, you're doing this just to spite me." Like,
what?
And I was just like, you know, wait a second, hold on, hold on, hold on. I had no idea you wanted this spot. My name's Ryan. Can I introduce myself? What's your name? You know, like I was as friendly as possible. And I was like, sir, I'm not doing this. I found out his name's Wayne. I'm not doing this despite you whatsoever. The only reason I like this spot is there's no trees around it. It's just the clear blue sky, like right above it. So nothing falls off the trees onto my car, and I can see it straight out my window. It is a little bit of a strange angle, but I could see it straight out my window from my apartment. I'm not doing this despite you at all. And he was just like, so like, oh my goodness, I made this whole thing up in my head. I'm so sorry. Whenever you want to park in this spot, please be my guest. And like, it just totally changed around from him like coming at me, yelling at me, where this could have easily been like an altercation or something, to just like neutralizing it and de-escalating it to where, you know, you fight fire with water. And even like with that situation, even though there was no jiu-jitsu, there was no traditional techniques of jiu-jitsu.
Sure.
I still feel like I absolutely used jiu-jitsu to like just neutralize, de-escalate the situation, and fight fire with water and go through the path of least resistance and get things done in the easiest possible way. So my view on things is through the lens of jiu-jitsu always. So it's hard to put a meaning on it when it is like how I see the world and what I do and what I love, you know. So
sure,
I hope that kind of answers your question with this.
No, yeah, that's great. And then like, that's what I was looking for, is like, that's I, for whatever reason, jiu-jitsu / grappling / whatever, I kept it general in terms of grappling, but it's such a life shaping thing that you, even though you didn't use like the physical techniques of jiu-jitsu, you called upon like all of your training in terms of like interacting with people and like the strategy of like you're kind of like going with the flow and trying to like de-escalate the situation, but also like you've talked to people, like you know how to deal with all a variety of people throughout your 10, 15 years of training? How long have you been training
about
for?
15.
15 years. So, yeah. So, like, you have a lot of experience in through your job, too. Like, your various jobs, like, being a high-end wait staff or whatever. And it's like, you know how to deal with people. So, you kind of understand the buttons to push or not push and how to maneuver in verbal situations.
I saw a segment with someone else on your podcast who was talking about the comparison between sales and how it's just like jiu-jitsu as well. And you could draw so many like things that are mirrors or things that you see in jiu-jitsu that also happen in real life, you know?
Yep, definitely.
One of the ones that I also love that I used to hear from my professor is that jiu-jitsu is a game of what you're willing to accept. And I think life is that way as well. So
interesting.
There's many parallels. It's
great. Right.
You could go on and on forever about different philosophies and how it mirrors actual real life as well.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I wanted to do this podcast, is like, I want to see, like, we have so many different teammates, and I call this the jiu-jitsu network, is like, we have people like in all different verticals of the world, in all different positions, all different like professions, and all sorts of different class, status, whatever, like everyone who does jiu-jitsu, like you're all equal on the mat. And I think that's a very, very rare elsewhere in life. Do you like have a CEO rolling with like, you know, some broke kid who can like barely put two pennies together, but like lives in the gym or something like that, like who's super super poor but like has a good heart and like wants to improve, and these like two people like can share the same mat and like relate to each other through this like weird medium of trying to strangle each other, you know, like it's a interesting like social cohesion, like because we're physically like trusting each other, we're trusting each other to be cool and trusting each other with our bodies and our livelihoods. Yes. Like some people like use their bodies to work and like walk around and whatever, do labor and things like that. We're trusting each other with our lives. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's a really cool thing.
I think, to your point too, like there's not a great argument for like having traditional, like everyone wears the same geese, everyone is like wearing the same uniform and stuff. But if you had to make an argument for that, thing like coming from a Gracie Baja school where like everyone has to wear the same gi, or like coming from a
Kwan
school where everyone has to wear the same exact uniform and has to like look good and be pressed, and like there's a bunch of like all these rules and stuff, which I'm not necessarily for and I'm not necessarily defending, but like when everyone is wearing like the same kind of uniform and stuff, it really strips away like all the extra like classes, like you were saying. It strips away like a CEO rolling with a broke kid and with the same like color gi and the same like organization of everyone just like on the mat trying to better themselves. You could like clearly see that environment of like on the mat everyone's the same, and like that we're all just trying to live a human experience, and it's a connecting thing rather than a separating thing, you know.
Yeah definitely. I was trying to remember, you said something earlier about maybe I'll get back to me, but this is kind of the whole idea is to hear people's stories, and like we sit on the side of the mat like after training, and like we shoot the shit with our friends, and we kind of like share little bits of our lives with each other, and because we're just like more like we see these people every day. That's another like jiu-jitsu is a glitch in the matrix kind of thing. It's like as an adult, how often do you see like your friends like from high school or friends from wherever? Like
never.
Not too often. Or how do you meet friends as an adult?
Like, right.
Very hard to do so, right?
Yep.
But somehow we have this like this place that we go to, and you're immediately thrust into this kind of like social situation where you're all like showing up to the same place like every day, at the same time every day, and you get to kind of know each other over time. And I think that's, I don't know, just a very, from the outside looking in, it's a very strange thing, like to, like, oh, you guys, like, all hang out with each other, whatever, that, even though, like, normal adult life is so, like, isolating, and so, like, demoralizing, you get up, you go to work, maybe you have, like, work friends that you kind of, like, hang out with, like, you kind of, like, shoot the shit with, but, like, aren't really friends, you don't hang out after work or anything like that.
Yep.
But then you go home, you watch Netflix, and you sleep, and you do it all over again, right? Like, but having this extra place, this third place, is, look up the Wikipedia article to that, that's interesting. Having an extra, some place between home and work to go and, like, meet people and socialize, it's super important, and I think jiu-jitsu is the best one that we can possibly have.
Yeah, it's like a home away from home a lot of times.
It's better than the bar, it's better than the barbershop, it's better than all these other places, because you learn a skill, you see where you are, kind of like you have like a intrinsic like pecking order of like who's the best, who can beat who, and like you kind of, your ego gets broken down and you get built back up, and you see, oh, okay, I suck at this, but I can like incrementally get better at this.
Yeah.
And you know, you just like you wanted to spend every day doing this. So I think that's a huge, a huge testament to how powerful it is.
Yeah. 100%. People get addicted like you and I.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess, so would you say, like, grappling is, like, your life's purpose? Or how do you see purpose in your life?
These are deep questions, my friend. You know, I see a lot of times jiu-jitsu as, like, something that could help people rather than like teaching people grappling is great, but really trying to like improve people's lives through the lessons mm-hmm. that you learn from martial arts, I think is a higher goal or something more to strive for. And yeah. whenever I'm in that element of doing that, I feel like I'm gelling with what I was sort of meant to be doing, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as purpose, like, I think that humans are, like, way more malleable than a lot of people, like, give credit for, and that you could True. Find purpose doing a lot of different things. And, like, even if for some reason, like, we could never do jiu-jitsu again, like, we would be able to find purpose in something else as well, you know? So I'm not, like, of the one opinion that, like, this is the only...
This yeah. is it. This yeah. is the only thing, yeah. Well, because you've had to face that yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and not to, like, whatever, put you on the spot or anything. Yeah, but yeah, that's it. That's interesting that, yeah, you've had... serious injuries that have prevented you from doing jiu-jitsu for spans of time, and like you've had to think about these things. So
yeah, I've had two hip surgeries. They completely like reshaped my legs, and it had been a difficult recovery process of like having to like learn to walk again, like doing the whole nine yards of going through those surgeries. But I just did a 2.5 hour lesson with John today, and I'm happy to be like on the way back. I was doing guard, and he was like crushing the guard.
Oh wow!
I was
all
like,
right.
Happy to be back doing it, but yeah, like you know, you just got to be so grateful for the standardized. Like, okay, I woke up. Can I breathe today? Can I see out of my eyes? Like, can I walk today? Can I? And like just being so grateful for those base essentials are so important, I think, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And yeah, it's people get super caught up in like, yeah, all the extra stuff where, yeah, the base reality is like, do you have food and water
yeah.
and shelter? And okay, your life's not that bad, like yeah. on a relative scale to like where it could be. So
yep.
And like, yeah, physical functionality. Okay, like how, yeah, what can you do, what can't you do? And it's crazy how you've maintained that, yeah, positive attitude. Like you've used this as a way to like train your mind to view the world in like this kind of like in that sort of way, in that you've tested your malleability of your mind, and you can see you had to kind of see yourself like, okay, like how else can I get fulfillment? So
yep.
I think that's very interesting to kind of hear from somebody who's been there, but it's very luckily that you're on your way back to training and rolling hard and things like that. So
yeah,
that's cool.
I think just to close on that point too, like, you know, our bodies can only train so much, but you could always
Sure.
train your mind. You can always
Yeah.
be looking up techniques, instructionals. You could always be organizing your jiu-jitsu better. You could always be thinking about things better. You could always be using better words, nomenclature, better. You can improve your game so much up here without Mm-hmm. having to actually use your body. And like, if you just discount that whole method of training, I'd say that's foolish. Like, I've gotten way better, I think, like way more technical, like the way I view the game, in the time where I haven't been able to physically do jiu-jitsu, but just like I am studying and studying, like today I probably studied about 5 hours of just jiu-jitsu instructionals and techniques and going through things and with John, and in addition to the 5 hours, and just if you keep the brain going, like you can constantly learn and improve and get better and better, and you don't have to like train every single time that you're actually like training.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a super underutilized method of training.
Yeah.
Like white belts are going to like buy instructionals and like watch them, and like they're not going to get a, maybe they get some value out of it, but they maybe don't know enough to like get whatever, get the full value out of it. But like, yeah, people who have been training for a while, like you're been a black belt, you've been a black belt for how long?
For 3-ish years.
So 3 years. 3 years. Yeah. So like you've whatever, super seasoned, trained for 15 years. You know, like the map of your game, and you can, you know, kind of where you can like add things and where you know the territory already, and you can just like mentally go there and add more detail and increase the resolution of those of those positions and add technique and whatever else you can without necessarily moving yourself, without necessarily like physically doing it. I think that's a superpower, and like you said, you can only, your physical body can only train so much, but your mind, it's, yeah, like I think like film study, like self film study is something that I did a lot in like preparing for trials, and I think it's super like underutilized.
Oh man, yep, 100%.
Yeah. So it's like, I know John takes a lot of film, and like I think like you're recording a bunch of instructionals for Fanatics, so I think that's huge that you're like kind of giving back to the community, and you're like crystallizing your knowledge, you're packaging it up and allowing like other people to kind of get glimpses of the insights that you have in jiu-jitsu.
Thank you. I appreciate the shameless plug, and
right.
I love.
I wanted to make it worth your while hopping on here. So
no problem. Yeah. No problem. Thank you.
Yeah.
Something came up. Recording continues. Your picture went away.
Oh.
Live video will return when their internet improves.
Okay. Well, I still see you, so I think we're good. But okay.
You're just editing from the computer.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Okay. Cool. But yeah, I guess to kind of end a little bit, like what motivated you to like start creating the instructionals yourself, as well as like you've consumed instructionals probably for a while, but like what motivated you to start filming instructionals?
That's actually a funny story in itself. The first instructional that I ever did is called Law Enforcement Grappling Solutions, and we had a bunch of police officers that just regularly trained at my academy, and all the time after class, they would just come to the black belts with questions and be like, oh, you're back. They would come to the black belts with questions and be like, hey, this happened in the field. The other day, like, what would you do in this situation? Like, something didn't go 100% right. Like, we had this situation, we had that situation. Just for years, like, we would break down and talk about, like, after class, like, what would be the best way to handle this or subdue this person. And it became like such a thing that like officers started coming to the school, like just to participate in these after class discussions.
Oh, interesting. So it's like an unofficial class.
Yeah,
I see.
100%. And yeah. Then I was like starting to film some of the classes, and like all these officers work different schedules, and not every single officer could make every single class. So I would film like what I showed, and then I would send it out to all of them. And I was like, this is like so inefficient. Like, there's got to be a better way of doing this. So I had met Michael Zanga and Bernardo Faria. I had trained for a brief time at Marcelo Garcia's academy.
Oh, dang.
And I had met them while I was there. So I reached out, and it was funny. Like, a week after I had reached out, they started making BJJ Fanatics instructionals where, like, any instructor could put out their content. I reached out to them, and they were like, yeah, we'd love to have, like, a law enforcement instructional on our site. So I, like, got to work. Like, I worked with a bunch of police officers that I knew. I worked with Dave Ogden, who's the chief of police in, I believe it's Windermere now. And I asked him a bunch of questions. I tried to do, like, ride-alongs, like, I signed up for it, but COVID kind of restricted that. But I sort of, like, was able to go to stations and, like, really kind of see what the problems were that they were facing so that I could, like, deliver the most value for them. And I just started, like, writing out, like, what I thought would be most helpful. And it's sort of a conglomeration between jiu-jitsu and wrestling. And there's, like, a great takedown system in there where, like, you're always able to stay standing while you can make the other person go to the ground. And a topic that isn't discussed a lot in jiu-jitsu, and, like, how to defend yourself from punches or kicks, and, you know, like, some of the actual things that you learn from striking, where you can learn things with footwork, you could tell how to read when someone's about to throw a strike and hit you. And, like, I think those things are so helpful for the officers to learn as well. So that's all in my instructional. And I still get messages from, like, officers, like, all the time. Like, I got maximum security prison guys messaging me. I got the guys who do security for Tampa Bay Rays baseball stadium.
Oh, yeah.
They all have my instructional. They train their guys from my instructional.
Oh, wow. And, that's cool.
Just, like, it's really an instructional for anybody that's, like, in security. I used to do security myself, and anyone that, like, wants any sort of self-defense. But it's just been crazy to see, like, its impact and the help that it's been able to have in the people that it's been able to touch, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, that, and that's a huge, like, you're, again, like, jiu-jitsu is people entrusting each other's, like, lives in each other's hands, and these people are putting their safety, like, in your instructionals, like, their faith in your instructional that they're gonna, like, actually make it home that night or whatever, right? They're training from that instructional, and that's pretty crazy, and very, I don't know, that's very cool, like, purposeful work. Like, you're actually making an impact on the world versus I'm just writing some lines of code, and, like, nobody gets hurt if a line of code doesn't work or whatever. So I think that's pretty neat.
I appreciate it, but I'm sure, you know, sure, through your podcast and your things that you do, you've helped other people as well. You're a very kind guy. I've asked you a bunch of questions. You've helped me out with a lot of stuff, so I thank you so much as well, Mr. Lady.
Awesome. Sweet. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for jumping on. Actually, how do you pronounce your last name? I always read it in text, and I never really got the pronunciation.
It's all good. It's Ryan Shaloya.
Shaloya.
That's it.
Shaloya. All right. Sounds good. Cool. All right. Thanks for jumping on, and we will catch you all guys next time.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.